You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. Hey, what do you say, Miami? You're talking super.
Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Thursday, January the 7th. I am your host, Mike. Joining me, as he does every Thursday, is the 2020 Miami Dolphins Fan of the Year, Ian Berger. Biggie, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I wish we had another football game this weekend, but we are going to move forward.
Yeah, we're going to march
on. The end
on.
Of our season. Yeah.
There's a lot of crazy stuff happening in the world. We're not going to talk about any of that.
Yes.
We're going to try to get everyone's minds off of that for like an hour or so.
Sure.
So if you don't want to think about that, we're going to talk about the 2020 Miami Dolphins season. It stinks that it's over, but we're going to try to put it into some perspective. And then we're going to take a look forward to the 2021 season. So if you need to check out from the real world for a bit, we're the
put
show
your headphones
for you
on
today.
And listen up. Yes,
we're the
exactly.
show for you today. So, first and foremost, the Miami Dolphins season obviously came to an end last Sunday. It's unfortunate. They won 10 games, still missed the playoffs. Is what it is. That does not take away from the fact that the 2020 Miami Dolphins season was a success in every way, shape, and form. Going into this year, diehards like Ian and a few others thought this team might win 10 games or more. I had them around 7 or 8. Overall, though, when you win 10 games in this league, there's nothing to apologize for. You're a good team, period. Yeah. Winning games are so hard. 10 games. I know the last one ended with a dud. We get that. But don't let that one game change the fact that the previous 15, for the most part, were outstanding. And, yes, they lost a couple, obviously, but they were outstanding. This team has so much youth, and it's moving in the right way. So, E, why don't you give me just some brief thoughts here, and then we'll go more in depth about the 2020 season, but a brief overview of your thoughts.
Yeah, man, I was definitely disappointed with how the season ended because I really felt that our team could make a difference if they were to make it into the postseason. But here we are, 10-6, didn't make the playoffs, which, by the way, it's important to note that there's only been one other time when the Miami Dolphins in their history have gone 10-6 and not made it into the playoffs during a 16-game season, and that was back in 2003. 10-6 normally gets you to the playoffs, but in this situation, I think because the NFC, what was it, NFC East and the NFC, they were so bad that's why you've got that, what is it, a 6-10 or 7-9 team that made it into the postseason.
Yeah.
And the AFC were the AFC teams were the ones that benefited from that. And I think that's why there were so many 10 wins or better teams.
AFC
in the
North.
AFC yes.
North got to play the NFC East. So the Browns, Ravens, and Pittsburgh got to beat up on those bad teams. And
they're all in the playoffs.
They're all
that's
in the playoffs.
Not by coincidence.
No, it's not. That did play a factor.
But anyway, I will say, just like you said, Mike, this was such a fun season. The fact that we were able to watch 17 games and we were able to talk about playoffs for that last month of the season. And really, really, we were close. We were one game away, one win away from being able to do it. I mean, that doesn't happen too often for us. But even on top of that, when you look at the journey that we have gone through just this year and last year, it really gives hope and excitement for 2021, right? You think we had the 5-11 season with the no names. We had no preseason, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, 81% new players onto our team over the last two seasons. And here we are at 10-6. Next year, with another group of free agents and some newly drafted players, which, by the way, that number 3 pick is looking beautiful for the Miami Dolphins. this team is going to be set for the next couple of years. I mean, you go from 5-11 to 10-6. I mean, could we be talking about a 12 or 13 win team next season?
Absolutely.
It is very possible. It is extremely possible. You know, and I think the main difference for a lot of people between the end of last season and the end, you know, this past Sunday is last season we ended by beating the Patriots. So you've got that taste in your mouth of the win of preventing the Patriots from really going to the Super Bowl is what it boiled down to. And for us this season, you know, that blowout, that's going to stick with us now for the next, you know, 8 months until the until our next football game. But what I hope it does is I hope it sticks with the Dolphins players, and I hope they remember that. So the next time they step on that field, they remember that feeling of how they left Buffalo, how they controlled their destiny, and how they cannot let that happen again. But I mean, I am not upset. This season was a lot of fun. I've enjoyed, you know, even just talking about them and just, you know, talking about the fact that we have a potential defensive player of the year, potential coach of the year, a young team, like you said, that all they're going to do is get better, man. And this is what you want with your football team. So, I'm excited and, you know, yeah, I wish we went further, but if you don't look at this season, if you look at the season under a microscope, just looking at week 17, you're never going to be able to look at the full 17 weeks and realize that it was actually a really good season.
Absolutely. And a couple things that you sort of said there is we ended last year on such a high, even only winning 5 games. Everyone, you know, was so upbeat about this year. And we started this year a little slow coming out of the gates. But we had that stretch in the middle where we just, you know, most weeks, almost every week, we won games. And then at the end, ended with a little bit of a dud here. Week 17 is what it is. But look at the big picture. This is the second youngest roster in the league, I believe. I might be off, but I think it's the second youngest roster in the league. And on one side of the ball, this team is set on defense. I know they just gave them 56 points. I get that. But that's an outlier. Look at what they were the other 15 games. And everyone on that side of the ball, with the exception of Elandon Roberts, because he's a free agent, and I think they'll try and sign him. I don't know. And Devon Gotcha, who didn't even play this year. Right. They're all coming back. Okay, they're all under contract to be back. Nobody's leaving on that side of the ball. They're all coming back. Xavier Howard, we don't know what's going on there. I think he'll be back. I hope he's back. I think he'll be back. He's under contract. So yep. It's not worth talking about it until there's something more to talk about. He's under contract to be back. So when you look at that side of the ball, you can say it's kind of all set. Sure, they might need to add an extra linebacker here. Sure, they might need another – add one more pass rusher here, but not a significant piece, a complementary piece. Obviously, the other side of the ball is where the heavy lifting needs to be done. And I think looking back at the season, where this season kind of went sideways, not only for the team and for Tua, was when Preston Williams scored that touchdown and got hurt. Because the moment he left that game and he was out for the rest of the year, this offense was never the same. This team was never the same, and that quarterback was never the same. And I know a lot of fans always like to say next man up, and they like to kind of put their head in the sand at times to just ignore a larger problem when there is no next man up. And wide receiver this year, there was no next man up. From that injury on, the Preston Williams injury, E, look at these stats. They played the Jets. They scored 20 points, but they kind of struggled in that game. They played Cincinnati. The first half, they couldn't even move the ball on offense. They won, but there's a half a game where they did nothing on offense. The Patriots, yeah, they won the game. They ran the ball well. They couldn't pass the ball to save their life against the Patriots. The Raiders have one of the worst defenses in the league. Miami, it took a miracle play at the end just to win the game. The Broncos game, they're not a great team. Our offense struggled, obviously. Our quarterback was benched. Fitzpatrick comes in. The Kansas City game, the offense was okay, but really, the offense kicked in once the Chiefs got up by a few touchdowns. The offense from the Arizona game on was never the same. And a big part of it is they could not replace Preston Williams, period. So, obviously, wide receiver is a spot that's got to get fixed. We'll talk about that more at the end of the show. But if Preston Williams doesn't get hurt, I think they're probably in the playoffs. I think they beat a team like the Broncos. I think, you know, the offense looks better. Tua Tagovailoa would have looked much better in some of these games. But that was, to me, looking back, the turning point of the season. Defense is there. Defense is ready to go. Defense is fine. Might have a stinker now and then like it did against the Bills. It happens. Happens to every team. Overall, that side's great. offense is where the work needs. That Preston Williams injury, it turned the 2020 season. That one play.
And to your point too, I don't always agree with Omar Kelly, but I do distinctly remember at the beginning of the season when he talked about what our weakest units were, and he specifically talked about the wide receiver unit. And I remember that because I was thinking, no, look who we got. We got Devontae, right? We got Preston. We got Jakeem. We got all these guys. And sure enough, as you just mentioned, the statistics don't lie. You know, once we lost Preston, we just could not throw the ball down the field. We could not push it down the field consistently. Now, I know, you know, and there could be some arguments between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua about throwing the ball down. But again, too, a lot of times with Ryan Fitzpatrick, when he would come in for Tua, it was because we were down. We needed to throw the ball. We needed to push it down there. But I think Omar was right on when he said our wide receiver core was the weakest unit on the team. And I know we're going to talk about it, but that is at the top of my list for next year.
Well, think about this, too. After the draft, we had everything with the virus and all that stuff. But after the draft, when players started opting out and such, you lose Hearns and Wilson. Those are probably your number three and number four wide receivers. So by the end of the year, Parker's got a hamstring issue. Preston Williams is out. You're already down Hearns. You're already down Williams. Grant gets hurt. And when he was out there, couldn't hold on to the ball. We were starting our sixth and seventh. We were starting two converted quarterbacks who are learning the wide receiver position on the fly in the NFL, which is asking a lot. And then guys like Mac Hollins, who's a nice player, don't get me wrong. Should he be starting in meaningful games at the end of the year? Probably not. Isaiah Ford, we tried to get rid of. We tried to get rid of him. We had to bring him back.
Yeah.
He was dropping balls on Sunday left and right. Not his fault. We know he shouldn't be out there. But when you have nobody else, that's why
nobody else.
Say next man up. It's like, no, you can't. Don't say next man up. Don't. Because it's not. Every case isn't that. And this was a case where that wasn't that. But overall, we know clearly going into this offseason what does not need to be tweaked and what does. And it sort of leads into our next story. The news that broke on Wednesday, and this time it's the real report, not the fake report that was out Monday. Chan Gailey resigned as the offensive coordinator. Ian, you and me have supported Chan on this podcast probably more than any other people in the Miami Dolphins fanverse this year, and I still do. It wasn't Chan Gailey's fault Sunday that they had, 13 drops, 14 drops? He didn't drop the balls. It wasn't his fault that the offensive line let a guy come in untouched, a sack to a, not Chan Gailey's fault. It wasn't his fault that some of the passes there by Tua were off the mark high. Okay, so I know everyone loves the pile on Chan. Well, guess what? He's gone now, and heading into next year, was he part of the problem? Yeah, sure, on some level. Of course he was, because the offense wasn't where it needed to be. But he wasn't the whole problem. And I think that's where fans need to understand. Just because Chan's gone, don't think everything now is fixed. It's going to be roses and sunshines and rainbows, because it's not. Because here's the thing with Tua, and I love Tua. You love Tua. They're not going to take a quarterback at three. They're not going to replace him. Anybody who has that in their head, that's crazy talk.
Yep.
Two things can be true at the same time. Tua, we love him. He's our future. We're not moving on from him. The other thing is, Tua left a lot of plays on the field the second half of the season. You know, but he's a rookie. That's okay. That's not an indictment of him. So Chan Gailey's gone. Let me get your thoughts on that, Ian.
First of all, you're right. You know, I supported Chan a lot. You know, I've seen some of the schematics of the plays that he was calling. And, you know, with many of the plays that were called, there were a lot of down the field throws that Tua was not selecting to utilize for one reason or another. You know, he was the one that chose the short routes. In some cases, it was a designed play, right? You've got the wide receiver screen or a running back screen to the left or to the right. But at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people put that, the fact that Tua was not pushing it down the field, on Chan's shoulders. And, you know, I'm willing to see what we have new, but here's the problem now, you know, and I don't think a lot of people think about it this way. Coach Flores is now heading into his third year, and now he's going to have a third new offensive coordinator.
I said,
you know, and possibly could be a third new offensive system. Now, good thing is that these guys are so new that for some of them, it's really only going to be their second offensive system, right? Because they were rookies last year. But still, anytime you do that, anytime you change the playbook, you risk, you know, creating problems. You risk offensive false start penalties because things are going to be very different, or you risk not running the right route because it was different from the playbook that you just had 9 months ago. You know, so I think there's that. But the other thing too is, you know, I was happy the way that the Miami Dolphins organization allowed Chan to resign, you know, and I think the writing was on the wall for him to not be with the team anymore. But I also, you know, I think to myself, this guy has a family at home. This guy has kids and grandkids, right? You know, and some of the reactions that I saw online were probably uncalled for. You know, you have extreme. A guy who's
really extreme.
They were extreme, and I'm not telling people how to live their lives, but I'm saying if this guy was your grandfather or if this guy was your father, would you want someone who, you know, someone to react the way that some of these people were reacting towards him when, you know, when he no longer has a job? And I know he said it was resigning, and I think it was probably a forced resignation. It was probably, you know, to save some face and make the organization look better, which I think it does do that at the end of the day. But I felt bad reading some of those comments, and I kept it to myself as I was reading them. But I was like, you know, he's gone now. You know, do you have to, you know, if you get fired at your job, do you want your coworkers to be cheering and calling you a clown and doing all those other things? I know we're in a world where, you know, public comment and everybody is allowed to do that. And I'm not, again, like I said, I'm not telling people how to act on Twitter, but I know as Dolphins fans, we're a good fan base. And we need to, if we start seeing success too, we need to stay that, right? We need to stay a great fan base and, you know, continue to support our people. And when people go, wish them luck. And hopefully, and like I said, I hope Shan really enjoys retirement this time around, because I know he came out of retirement, and I appreciate what he did for our team, because as the offensive coordinator, we had 10 wins.
That's right. Season. He was part of the success too.
He was part of our 10 wins, regardless of how maybe he didn't get Tua to perform at the level that we would all like him to perform. We got 10 wins with him as the offensive coordinator. So I think with that, I'm just going to leave it as saying, I appreciate what he did with the team. I hope that we do get someone that can unleash Tua a little bit more, you know, and as I keep saying, I hope that they'll give him the confidence to be able to throw often and deep is what I'm saying.
Here's the thing. Number one, you know, fans can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh my God, we have no weapons. No quarterback would be able to have success here. But Chan Gailey thinks he's got to go. Well, if the quarterback's got no weapons, guess what? The offensive coordinator's got no weapons either. You can't have it both ways. So Chan Gailey's, you know, he's handcuffed as well by the lack of weapons on offense. And there's only so much he can do. That's number one. Number two, our very own Dante Colonelli broke this down with the Raiders game, where they called the same exact play, once with Fitzpatrick and once with Tua. The play with Tua, Mike, our tight end's running down the middle of the field wide open. Tua never saw him, never threw it to him. The play with Fitzpatrick, same exact play. The tight end's got someone on him, really on him. Fitzpatrick forces it, and he makes the catch. Is that Chan's fault that our quarterback didn't throw to the open guy running by himself down the middle of the field? So it's easy to say, oh, Chan never throws it. That, you know, he calls two different playbooks, one for Tua. No, he's calling the same plays. One quarterback's forcing it in there, pushing it. The other quarterback didn't see an open guy. So it's unfair to me. And I know I'm going to come off sound like a Chan Gailey apologist, and I'm not, folks. Really, I'm not. I'm just saying, be fair about this. Don't be so irrational, emotionally crazy, like Chan's gone. Yeah, screw him. He ain't there's a bigger problem here. And once again, we like Tua. He has promise, but at times this year he played like a rookie. And even the diehard Tua supporters have to acknowledge that. And it's okay. Nobody's knocking the guy, but he missed plays. He left plays on the field, and that's not Chan Gailey's fault. And whoever the next offensive coordinator is, I tend to think, and I know it's not fun, it's not exciting, it's not that one that's going to get everyone excited. They're going to promote from within and promote George Gotsi, the new offensive coordinator. I have no inside information. I don't know squat. That's just my hunch.
Good guess. Yeah, because it sounded like he was being groomed during the season anyway, exactly, to take that role. That's what I had heard.
Guys had COVID. He stepped in as quarterback coach. He was working close with Tua. He's been an offensive coordinator before. And the other thing is, like you said, Brian Flores, 3 offensive coordinators in 3 years. That's not a good look on him. That's right. Not. So for all the positives of Flores, it comes down to, do you trust him to make a third offensive coordinator hire? Because he screwed up the first two. If you don't like Gailey and you think he screwed up. He screwed right. up the first two. I think the more conservative, stable approach would be promote from within, George Gotze. Let's see how that goes. I know some people are throwing out crazy names. Get this guy. People have to understand, if you're a head coach in college, you're not going to take a step down to be an offensive coordinator, okay?
Right.
Even if it's not happening.
It's going to be being a coach in the NFL. That's the only way you're going
to
move.
So, you know, you got to have – people have to have expectations in check. And I'll say this too. Tua, they're not taking a quarterback at 3. They might have to put on the illusion to get some other team thinking they are. That's fine. I understand that game. So maybe if you trade down, if a team thinks you're taking, that's fine. They're not taking a quarterback. Tua is the guy. There's a great video. It's on my Twitter feed. I think it's on yours as well, Ian, by Dan Orlowski, who I know has been hot and cold this year on him. Tua. He did said something on ESPN on Wednesday. Go to our Twitter feeds. Check it out. It is spectacular where he said Tua is the guy. Build an offense around him, for him, that works for him. And I'll say this, Ethan, I'll get your thoughts here on the quarterback. The 7 years we had Ryan Tannehill, the Dolphins fan base, I thought at times was it was rough. There was the pro-Tannehill group, the anti-Tannehill group, and nobody was going to change anyone's mind. It was like politics. Nobody's going to change anybody's minds. And unfortunately, what I saw from Sunday and on, you know, the sky is blue, water is wet, the Pope is Catholic, and the Miami Dolphins fan base half loves our quarterback Tua, half hates him. We're in hell. Because this fan base needs to really, I mean, nothing changes. Guys, Tua played 9 games. Is Justin Herbert a better quarterback? Maybe he is. So what? Why does that aggravate so many Dolphins fans? Who cares? You can't redo the 2020 draft. Tua's our guy. He played well. He looks like he's going to be really good. We have to build around him to get him to where we need to be. And at the end of the day, if Justin Herbert ends up being a better quarterback, don't let that bother you. Why does that bother you so much? Who cares? Who cares? Tua is a good player. We have to do, as an organization, what is right to build around him to maximize his potential. And we have all the draft picks, all the salary cap space. We drafted 3 young offensive linemen look promising. We're halfway there. We have to get all the way there. Ian?
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. There is a growing movement amongst Miami Dolphins fans about getting rid of Tua after 1 year. And it is hard to do that when you haven't seen someone at their full potential, right? And full potential meaning getting the team around them that is NFL caliber and can be successful during an entire game. You know, the thing with Tua is, as you mentioned, you know, he had Preston, he had Devontae, and it was great. And then soon as Preston went down, then everything changed, you know? And I think, and I know we'll talk a little more about this, but you get him some horses on the outside and you get him some, you know, a nice running back that can also help with taking a little pressure off the quarterback, then you've got yourself, you know, an opportunity to say, now we can really measure this player. Because right now it is hard to measure him when the people around him are not at the caliber that they should be in order to make it. And I'll go back to this too. I may have said it to you once before. Maybe not, but I mean, look at the difference of Stephon Diggs made to the Buffalo Bills, right? That totally changed Jared Allen's way of thinking and the way that he was able to get the ball down the field. Look at how DeAndre Hopkins changed Kyler Murray in Arizona. I know they didn't make it to the postseason, but Kyler Murray.
Not because of the offense.
Exactly. It was mainly because of the defense, but Kyler Murray and him clicked right away. You know, and look at what's happening over in Chicago right now, right? With Robinson and Trubisky, you know, you get a horse like that and you get somebody, you know, you keep someone like a Devontae Parker and hopefully Preston Williams can come back and be healthy. You know, you get that type of talent and then you get some of these rookies that look phenomenal, right, that are coming out of the draft, then you can truly assess what you have in Tua. Until that time, I don't think you give up on the guy. It just doesn't make any sense. Now, if next year you retool and then he's showing you the same things he's showed you this year,
then you have a conversation.
Then you put up the red flags and you say we got some issues. But remember too, and people don't remember this, Tua didn't have a preseason. Tua was injured up until pretty much preseason, right? He had no opportunity to practice with these players prior to the year. You know, this offensive system was all new to him this year, and he didn't get to play the first six games, right? That was all about him getting better and learning and practicing and everything else. So, you know, you've got all these things that are stacked up against him. And for some people to just, I think we are in a prove it now society where if you're not good for me today, you're not going to be good for me tomorrow. But I think we have to give him a chance. Now, are we going to give him a 7-year chance like Tannehill? Probably not. I don't think that we should do that. But I think through the second year, next year, we should learn a lot about Tua. And I think we've got to have a little bit of patience as a fan base to be able to see it through.
And Ryan Tannehill, out of all those guys you mentioned, like Murray, Josh Allen, and such, Tannehill's a perfect example. 7 years in Miami, he didn't have much help around him. No running game, really. 2016, he had a little bit of one, but you're talking about 1 year, which he didn't even finish. He got hurt. And wide receiver-wise, he really had no help. Goes to Tennessee, you give him Henry, A.J. Brown. Ryan Tannehill's like an MVP candidate. So, yes, the talent around you matters at quarterback. So, Tua, he's not – the problem is everyone thought we were getting the Tua from Alabama. And the Tua at Alabama was sensational, no doubt. But, A, the injury took a little out of him, clearly, one. And, two, this ain't Alabama. In Alabama, he had guys running down the field wide open, not his fault, and it's easy to play at Alabama with all that around you. In the NFL, there's no weak teams. Even the worst teams like the Jets, they're still somewhat capable, okay? They have capable players. Definitely. So you're not going to get – it's going to take a little bit. And he's not a savior. Dolphins fans, they do this all the time. They try to find a savior. It's a savior complex issue. We need the next Marino. You don't need the next Marino. You're never getting a next Marino. Marino's once in a lifetime. You'll never get anyone close to him. We just need the next quarterback who's very, very good. And Tua can be very, very good. And if he's not as good as Herbert, who cares? Really, who cares at the end of the day? It means nothing. And there's that. The other thing at quarterback, I want to get your thoughts. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Great guy, helped us immensely this year. No other guy, I think, would have put up with the quarterback shuffle that we did. No other guy would have opened his arms to a rookie who's looking to replace him like he did. I cannot say enough positive things about Ryan Fitzpatrick. With that said, Ryan Fitzpatrick cannot be on the 2021 Dolphins because our head coach, anytime the going gets tough, is going to want to put him in, and that cannot continue. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he will always have a special place in the heart of Miami Dolphins fans. He cannot be in the 2021 roster. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you. I think we do need to move on. And to be honest with you, I think he wants to move on too. I mean, he proved early this season.
That,
yeah. And he went 3-3 at the beginning of the season. You know, he still can sling it with the best of them, even though he's going to end up with a bunch of interceptions because that's just the type of player that he is. He might be able to go and start somewhere. One of these places that's really looking for a quarterback. He may have the opportunity to compete for the starting spot. Let him do that. You know, I think we experienced two seasons of Fitzpatrick. And as you mentioned, we needed him to help build this culture of this team. But I think I almost want to let him fly on his own and do his own thing. And like you said, too, we don't want Tua to ever feel like he's looking over his shoulder ever again. I think what we end up doing is, you know, we've got this Reed gentleman, I think, that's on the Reed practice Senate. Squad. In it, right? Or in our draft late in the rounds, maybe fifth or seventh round pick. Yeah, exactly. Somebody later in the draft.
Well, even middle of the draft, they have so many picks. If they want to take someone around 3 or 4, I have no problem with that. Because if you go around 3 or 4, you're not going to push to be number one. But you want to have a young guy ready to go in case Tua in a year or two isn't the guy. You want to have someone ready to go in the wings. That's fine. And you want to go out there and sign a Colt McCoy type. He was a name I brought up to Tom. Not necessarily him. Someone like that as your number two. In case something happens to Tua, you got a veteran ready to go. That's fine as well. Just Ryan Fitzpatrick himself, because our head coach loves the guy, as he should. Look, 9 times out of 10 this year, he is not benched. He was benched because of a very unique situation, and everyone understands that. But we can't have a 2021 where if Tua has a rough half or a rough quarter or a rough three quarters, the head coach goes, hey, I'm putting in the backup. So be it. Because Tua's never going to get better, and this team will never get to where it needs to be, which is playoffs and Super Bowls.
Right.
Fitzpatrick can't be here for that. And he's, because I think with this head coach, he's too married to Fitzpatrick. If it is a Colt McCoy or Colt McCoy type, Andy Dalton, someone along those lines, he won't be married to that guy like he is Fitzpatrick. And he won't be so quick to yank Tua to put in insert name of veteran quarterback.
Right.
So that's the reason I think Fitzpatrick, once again, not a knock on him. And he's going to be 39 in the middle of next season. He might want to retire. He just had COVID. Who knows what's going through his head?
And hopefully if he does,
hopefully he's okay. He's right. Yeah. But he might want to retire, and if he doesn't, there's going to be teams out there who will be more than happy to sign him as number two. Heck, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, who would I want to work with Trevor Lawrence? I want Ryan Fitzpatrick. I tell Minshew to get lost, and whoever else had to get lost, go sign Fitzpatrick, work with Lawrence, or something like that. There's teams out there who would be more than happy to have. Heck, he could probably start for the Patriots tomorrow.
Hey, yeah, you know what? You're not wrong.
A complete tour of the AFC East.
You are not wrong, and he might love that too.
Exactly. He probably would, because they can stick it to the Jets, stick it to the Bills, stick it to the Dolphins. And he'd probably start for the Patriots tomorrow. Bill Belichick probably would love him. So he's going to find a home if he wants to play. It just can't be Miami. It just can't, for all the reasons we laid out.
Yep. Yep. You're right.
Now, E, we have to talk about Manscaped.
Love Manscaped.
Just because the season's over doesn't mean male grooming is over. So everyone, men out there, manscaped.com. Use the promo code Dolphins Talk. Save 20% in your order. Free shipping. It's not going away. Our deal with them is hopefully going to go for many, many, many more months, but it's still going strong now. So if you need the Lawnmower 3.0, the Weed Whacker, the Crop Mop, the Crop Mat, mints, underwear, undershirts, or any of their various products, go to manscaped.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, and you're going to save 20%. And E, we've gotten some samples from them. You love the products. I love the products. I've started to use a few. I've never thought I'd have to use some of these products. You know what? They're good products. They're made well, high quality, and it is an they have some very good stuff. So whether you got birthdays coming up or whatever, or if you just want to splurge and, you know, spoil yourself, manscaped.com.
I know I've mentioned this a bunch, but the scents of some of these products that they have are just phenomenal. And I use the Lawnmower 3.0 at least on a weekly basis. I mean, even if it's just to clip some of my what are these? These are my sideburns, right? Because they tend to get really low. And that thing is probably the best clipper, and it's a small one, but it's the best clipper I've ever owned.
Yeah.
You know, it is really that good. And I'm not exaggerating. It really is the best that I've ever owned. So I strongly recommend. This is a Lawnmower 3.0 that I'm holding. It's got the light in the front too, so you can absolutely see what's going on. And the Crop Preserver, it smells amazing.
Yeah, I use the Weed Whacker, which is the ear hair and nose hair trimmer. And I always look for nice ones. And I always switch around. I had one from Panasonic, one from some other companies I was using. But when I got the one from Manscaped, I'm like, holy cow. This is really the best nose hair and ear hair trimmer I've ever owned. And now I bought a second one. So I have two, one at the office and one at home that I keep, because it is so well made and it's just an amazing product. So everyone check out manscaped.com, try them out. And now if you listen to us from Australia, the UK, Germany, wherever, they ship internationally and our promo code works internationally. So for those of you who listen to us outside of the continental United States, you can order Manscaped anywhere in the world. So check it out. Use a promo code Dolphins Talk.
Absolutely.
Now, E, we have to talk about, we're a little ways away from free agency in the draft, but it's always fun to speculate. That's the fun part of the offseason, I guess, is the speculation. What do we want to see? What do we think we'll see? So as we said, offense is where the heavy lifting is. That's going to be the priority. Last year, we brought in the Shaq Lawsons, the Agbas, the Roberts, the Byron Jones. The heavy lifting was on that side of the ball, and we fixed it. This year, we have to do that same thing on the other side of the ball. So let's start with wide receiver, running back. I sort of lumped together because I think heading into the draft, they can fix one of these spots heading into the draft to where the two picks in round one and the two picks in round two, they don't have to take one. I know all fans got their hearts set. We're going to take a wide receiver, then we'll take the running back from Clemson or Alabama. There's a way where we don't have to do that, which would then let us fix one of those problems and then just go best player available, which is really what you want to do. So the example I often talk about is at running back, and I always use this one name. There are some other names. If they wanted to break the bank and buy and spend money on Aaron Jones, you don't necessarily need to draft a running back in round one or two, because then you would have Aaron Jones, Miles Gaskin, Selvin Ahmed. That's a nice running back room. It opens up other picks in rounds one and two to use at other positions. Or if they don't do something like that and they go, we really want to find a lead running back in the draft, that works. Wide receiver, you know, everyone's talking about Chase from LSU or Smith or Waddle or this one or that one. When everyone's healthy, we're going to have Parker, Preston, Lynn Bowden. There's your 1-2-3 going into next year. I don't think Hearns or Wilson will be back. Let's assume they're not. You got Grant as like a fourth, fifth. But if they go out there and sign Allen Robinson, Will Fuller, Juju Smith-Schuster, and you got Parker, Preston, Lynn Bowden, and Allen Robinson, or whatever, do you really need to take a wide receiver in round one or two? Not really. Your wide receivers are pretty much set and loaded, and you fixed one problem prior to the draft. So, I guess, what do you think? Because once again, it's all speculation. Just what's your thoughts, opinions? Could you see Miami doing one of those two things, fixing running back or fixing wide receiver in free agency to where it opens up the draft and gives them more options at other spots?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And I will tell you, I completed my first mock draft.
There you go.
On Monday morning. So Sunday night, the game ended. I spent about an hour in a dark room by myself
drinking.
And then I said, all right, time to move on with my life. Right. And Monday I completed a mock draft, but here's what I did. I drafted 7 wide receivers and 1 running back, because I felt, you know, especially after watching the game on Sunday, that is such a huge need for this team. So as you mentioned, there will be a lot of opportunity in free agency to pick up a wide receiver. But I still think, even if you pick up an Allen Robinson, I still think you've got to get another one of these top horses in the draft. And here's why I say that. I mean, you look at Devontae Parker, and he has, unfortunately, he's got a nickname because he doesn't finish seasons. He's always playing hurt, or he's always getting hurt for one reason or another. And you can expect at some point next season for him probably to be down, right?
He's going to miss a couple games.
Right. Second season, and this is now the second season for Preston Williams.
Missed a couple games.
Half the season, but he also ended the prior season early, right? Due to injury. So you've got to expect those two guys, they have a history of injuries. And I never like putting any sort of labels on players, but as a coach, they have to be thinking about that.
You have to be realistic. Yes. And Grant just ended his third season in a row on IR. Not that we want Grant to be a wide receiver we're counting on too much, but odds are he probably won't go anywhere just from a special teams perspective. And if he's not going anywhere, then he's probably a fourth or fifth wide receiver. So that means you got Parker, you got Preston and Grant, who are not guys you can count on to give you 16 games. So absolutely understand your point. Even if they signed a Fuller, a Robinson, Juju, adding another wide receiver makes sense. Plus, you also have to look at the AFC, until otherwise, goes through Kansas City.
Yes.
And that team scores points in bunches. So if you want to beat them, you better be able to keep up with them. And how do you keep up with them? You need 4 or 5 capable wide receivers. So, yes, even if they sign a wide receiver, they might be in the market for one in the draft. I totally agree.
And I will tell you, too, I don't anticipate seeing Jakeem back. And my wife will kill me because Jakeem is her favorite player. He dropped a lot of balls this season, which is not the first season that he's had that trouble. And I saw the team started putting Noah Igbinoghene back for punt returns.
He did that in college too, yeah.
Right, exactly. So if he can be your special team player, then that kind of makes Jakeem Grant expendable, right? Because he didn't really play too much wide receiver. He was really mainly your special teams guy until wide receiver started getting hurt. And then he got thrust into the wide receiver spot a little bit more frequently. So I really think that we're going to go into next season with three wide receivers. And I think it's going to be DeVante Parker, Preston Williams, and Lynn Bowden, right? Lynn Bowden Jr., right?
Yeah, and even Malcolm Perry will be around. But once again, with Lynn Bowden and Malcolm Perry, even now that they have a year under their belt, pretty much trying to learn the wide receiver position, there's still a learning curve, and there's only so much you can put on their plate. You don't want them to be your number one and number twos. If there's your four and fives, you're fine. That's fine. But you can't depend on them to be one and twos because they're never going to be that. Just one, size alone. And two, it takes time to learn a new position, especially in the NFL. Lynn Bowden picked it up quicker, and he's so much of an athlete. He really is a great athlete. I am really high on Lynn Bowden. I think next year, if he's their third or fourth wide receiver, they're going to be just fine because I think they can do so much more with him that they will. It's just this year, once again, he wasn't expected to be in that much of a larger role. And by the end of the year, he's starting games, which he shouldn't have been. Offensive line. I think offensive line took a big step forward, clearly. Couldn't have been any worse than 2019. Yep. So it took a big step forward. I thought the three rookies, once again, no mini camp, no OTAs, no offseason workout programs. For what they were thrown into, did an admirable job. I think out of the three, Solomon Kinley's probably got the biggest upside, highest ceiling. I just think he's fantastic. Austin Jackson started off the year good. Then when he got hurt, he was kind of never the same guy when after that injury. But he still played well.
Probably playing hurt, and that's probably what was. Happened,
and
too.
You know what? He still played well, just wasn't great. Robert Hunt is very up and down. But he's not someone I want to get rid of by any means. He's fine at right tackle or right guard. Offensive line, it's close. I would like to see a better center. Ted Karras did fine. I would like to see an upgrade there. And at pick number three, if the kid from Oregon's there, Penei Sewell, to me, I don't know how you pass on him. Because that one, offensive tackle and offensive line in general is just such to find someone at that level. And so far from the little bit of research I've done, everyone says this kid's the real deal. He's up there like Jonathan Ogden, Walter Jones, that level of offensive tackle, which is like, you know, really, really, really good. And if he's sitting there at three, which I don't even know if he'll make it a three. I think there's a chance he goes at two to whoever picks it to, if it's not the Jets. I don't know how Miami passes on that. And I wouldn't pass on that for a wide receiver. Like I said, I think you can fix wide receiver in the draft and with the other picks later in round one, round two. I think a guy like Penei Sewell, if he falls in your lap, you take him. You figure it out. He's on your right or left with Austin Jackson. Solomon Kinley's one of your guards.
He's mainly a left, though, isn't he? Isn't that
he's a left.
Mainly left. Yeah.
But I guess from the people I speak to, and one of the people is our own in-house draft guy, Dante Colonelli, who he covers it. You know, he writes for us and does a lot of stuff for the Dolphins for us because he's a fan and he's great with us. But he does draft stuff year-round as well. And he also covers Temple football, so he's got a full plate. But he does the draft. He covers it inside out. He was on, I don't know, 8 or 10 of our podcasts last year in the lead up to the draft. He tells me, and from some other people as well, he can play right or left. It's not an issue. Penei Sewell, you can put him a right tackle or left tackle, won't be an issue. The problem is if you add him and you put him, let's say at right tackle, Jackson's at left. What do you do with Eric Flowers? Because if you want to play Hunt and Kinley, Eric Flowers just becomes the most expensive backup offensive lineman in the league. But he's only got one more year on his contract after this year, so it might not be anything to worry about. But also, that's a good problem to have as well.
Yeah,
that you
true.
Have too many good offensive linemen to play. Maybe Robert Hunt spends a year first guy off the bench. Not the end of the world, because there's going to be a spot for him in time, and he still has three more years on his contract. And all that. So, to me, Penei Sewell, if he's there at three, you take him. And you still have multiple picks to fix wide receiver, running back, whatever. Just what are your thoughts, I guess, on the offensive line?
I think you're right. I think it's always good to build the offensive line, but I'm going a different approach, and I'm just going with what I've seen over the last two seasons from Flores and Chris Greer that, you know, number three pick is going to be one where people are probably going to be trading a boatload of picks to jump up to get. And I know the Dolphins are going to listen to those offers. Sure. And if they find one where they don't have to go down too far in that first round and they could possibly pick up, you know, a first round pick for next season or a really nice haul of picks, I think they got to seriously consider it, you know, because that remember that number three, that's the wild card for us because we're only supposed to have an 18 this year. right? But because of Houston Texans, and thank you to Coach O'Brien, we're picking number three, but why not?
And number 35 as well.
Yeah, and number 35 as well. So why not, you know, turn that into additional draft capital for this year, and then when we need it again next year too, because you really want to not just build for this year, but you got to be thinking again long term, and hopefully, you know, we're a playoff team next year. That's the expectation. And how do you continue to be a playoff team? You continue to improve. You look at whatever those holes are, and then you draft them or you find free agents. So I think my personal opinion is you find a good trade partner that you will get a great number of picks. Now, if it's not a great number of picks that someone is offering, then fine, do it. Get your best player available. Get that number three. The only thing is that, again, I do love some of those wide receivers that are coming out. They are, and the ones from Waddle, right? And
Waddle,
exactly. So
Chase,
exactly. You get one of those horses for Tua, he's going to feel like he's in Alabama again. These guys are going to get separation from those defenders. These guys are going to take that step to the inside and then start sprinting to the outside. That's what's lacking right now from what I've seen. So we need one of these young, fast wide receivers. I don't know if you saw, there was a video when Justin Jefferson was picked up by Minnesota last season. And it was, you know, I think it was Rick Spielman as their general manager. You know, and their coach, as soon as the team before them picked the other wide receiver,
with Jalen Reagor.
And, you know, and Justin Jefferson was there. They laughed and they're like, yeah, Justin Jefferson, put it in right now. Don't even wait. Just put it in right now.
Yeah. And it does come. If you're a fan of the Dolphins, here's what. And look, it's a long way away, the draft. What we have to root for. Whoever picks number two, whether it's the Jets or if they trade out, whoever picks number two takes a quarterback. We know quarterback's going one to Jacksonville. You want number two to be a quarterback. Why? Because the Miami Dolphins, one, aren't taking a quarterback. And number two, amongst all the so-called draft experts, there's three quarterbacks at the top of this draft, and Lawrence, Fields, and Wilson. We want to be pick three to have two options. Option one, you take the best position player on the board, the guy you want that's other than quarterback, whether it's tackle, wide receiver, guard, pass rusher, whatever. You get first choice because the first two picks are quarterback. You get first choice of everything else. Or if there's a team that didn't get Fields, didn't get Lawrence, and go, damn, we got to get Zach Wilson, they're going to be calling you up to say, I'm the Panthers, I got to get ahead of Atlanta, especially because they're in the same division. Or we're the Lions, we got to get ahead of Atlanta, and we got to get ahead of the Panthers, or whoever, because we got to get Zach Wilson because we can't afford to miss out on all three of these guys. That's when you get that haul. So the Dolphins are sitting in a sweet spot in that they can get the best non-quarterback in the draft, or they can trade and get more picks and hopefully not trade down too far. I don't think they'll trade down out of the top 10. The teams that need quarterbacks not too far behind Miami are, let me get the stupid tankathon. That's stupid. They do good work on the tankathon site up. So you got Atlanta at four. That's one spot down. That would be ideal. If they want, because Matt Ryan ain't gotten it done, and they might have to move on.
They actually announced today that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are on the trade block.
There you go.
This offseason.
There you go. And I wouldn't be shocked if you see Matt Ryan in San Francisco. That's another story for another day. Yep. You got the Lions at seven. You got the Panthers at eight. And if the Cowboys don't want to pay Prescott, you got the Cowboys at 10. There you are, your trade partners. I don't think they'll move on from Locke yet. So you got Atlanta at four, Lions at seven, Panthers at eight, Cowboys at 10, all capable trade down partners.
Absolutely.
Should one of them fall in love with Zach Wilson? Should Justin Fields go second? That's why, as fans of Dolphins, we want Justin Fields or Zach Wilson. You want a quarterback to go number two to whoever. I don't care if the Jets trade out. Whoever moves in that spot, take a quarterback. But you know what? Even if they don't, say they take Sewell, that means
there's two Fields, other quarterbacks,
two quarterbacks
that they could be in love with right now.
So if you're a team like the Lions who loves Justin Fields, they're going to be blowing up your phone. So Miami, regardless, is going to be in a great spot.
Yes. Yes.
And what we saw last year, Ian, I always say this, I don't know if I've said this to you. I know I say it lots of times, because we talk about this a lot on the postgame show. There are four key positions on every NFL roster that take priority over the rest: quarterback, offensive tackle, cornerback, and pass rusher. Look what Chris Greer did last year in round one. Took three of them. Quarterback, offensive tackle, corner with Igbunogene. Chris Greer, in my eyes, is that old school football guy who understands those four positions mean the most. Because when those guys hit the free agent market, they get paid the most. Because those spots are impossible to find. So that's why I think if Chris Greer is sitting there and Penei Sewell falls in his lap, I think he'll just take Penei Sewell. Unless there's a trade offer that's too good to trade down. Because we know Chris Greer likes to trade as well. But I think if Penei Sewell's there, it's going to be tough to pass him up. Because he knows that kind of guy at that position don't come around often. And you get him and Jackson for the next however many years. That solidifies your tackles. You got Kinley. You got Hunt. You find a center at some point. Your offensive line is looking really good. And that wouldn't be an excuse for the quarterback then to say, we're not winning because of that. Because that offensive line, I think, would be rock solid.
You're right. You're right.
So that's going to be fun to watch. Obviously, it's a long way away. And we're going to – so here's the deal as we wrap up this show. We did this show, Ian and myself, every week through the season. Well, there's no more games. And free agency's not till March. And the draft's not till after that. So we're still going to do shows, just not every week. It's going to be sporadic. When there's something to talk about, we're going to do a show. Trust me. Before the Super Bowl, we're probably going to do a show because it's the Super Bowl. Worth previewing, even though our team's not per se. So we're going to do shows sporadically in the off season. We're not going away. We're not going to leave you high and dry. We're still going to come around, have a few laughs. Maybe once Ian finishes the series Cobra Kai, we will come on and do a show about Cobra Kai and share our thoughts on that.
I just finished it last night, but we won't spend any more time tonight.
We'll save that for the next show.
Yes.
We'll talk some football and talk Cobra Kai.
Loved it, by the way. Loved it.
Awesome.
Yes.
We have to talk about that. So we're still going to do shows. We're not going to leave your lives here for 8 months. We're coming back. Trust me. It's just not going to be every Thursday morning. So just wanted to let everyone. Yes.
I have an important question. I know you're wrapping up, but I need to know who should we be rooting for in the postseason right now?
Yes.
It's usually whoever plays against the Patriots. That's who we're rooting for, right?
Here's my answer. Take out Patriots, insert Bills. Anybody but the Bills. I don't care. First off, in the NFC, I could care less who wins in the NFC. I don't have any beef or any heat, as they say, with any of those teams. The AFC, Pat Mahomes is fun to watch. They're fine. I know a lot of fans of Dolphins like to root for Ryan Tannehill. Tennessee's fine. The Cleveland Browns, I mean, if there's ever a franchise that's been more unlucky than us,
yes,
it's the Browns. How can you – and then they lose their head coach, lose their offensive lineman this week, who's a very good player. How can you root against the Browns? I mean, it's like rooting for the Cubs. You want to see them just win one eventually.
So, I think that's who it's going to be for me, Mike. I think it's because, last year it was the Chiefs for me because it had been so many years since their fan base had gotten that win. So I'm looking at all these teams that are currently in, and many of these teams recently were either in a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl. So I'm kind of rooting for the Browns, even, and I know this is not going to happen, but even the Washington football team with Alex Smith as quarterback,
that'd be a great story.
Those are probably the two that I'd be rooting for, but you're right. You know, the Bills, I think we can officially say that the rivalry is back.
Rivalry's on.
We do not want Buffalo to go.
I mean, for me and also for Tom who live up, who are surrounded by fans of the Bills, the rivalry never ended for us. We're like in the fields of Vietnam. Nobody told us that the war was over. We're like, what do you mean the war is over? Since the early 90s, we've been fighting this war, and now it's officially back on. And, you know, I like to poke fun at the city of Buffalo. It's all in fun, folks. But I'm not rooting for a team inside the AFCs to win a Super Bowl. But that doesn't take away the fact they're a great team, as we saw on Sunday. I would not be shocked if they actually won the Super Bowl. I think they are that good. I'm just not rooting for it to happen.
Can we root for Tennessee also with Tannehill? Would that be okay? All right. Yeah.
I don't have a problem rooting for Tannehill. I mean, he didn't do nothing wrong in Miami. It just didn't work out. Pittsburgh, I'm not a huge fan of, but it is what it is. Who else am I forgetting? The Colts, Rivers. It's like a lifetime achievement award at this point. If he ever got there, God bless him. Once again, aside from the Bills, I don't really dislike any of these other teams in the playoffs this year. It used to be just the Patriots. Now they're gone. I'm just rooting against the Bills. The heck with them.
Okay.
I think the Browns are my first choice also because my father and my brother are diehard fans and they've been through misery with this franchise for 100 years, it seems like. So I'm rooting for them. I think it's going to be an uphill battle for them this week, though, without their head coach and their offensive lineman. But, you know, Pittsburgh has...
It's against Pittsburgh. They've had some... They've pooped on the bed a couple of games last couple of weeks.
And I think the Browns, they can run the ball, which they can run the ball. They can run the ball. If they can run the ball on anybody, and if they have a good day running the ball, they're tough to beat. So yep. I'm rooting for Mayfield and the Brownies. Tennessee, I'll root for. Ravens, that's another team I'm not...
They were in the Super Bowl just a couple of years ago. So yeah, let somebody else get there.
After the Bills, that's the next team I really... Just because something about the Ravens I just don't like. I don't know what it is.
Well, last time we were in the playoffs and we had a home game was against the Ravens. Yeah, so of course,
and plus they always beat us like a drum, it seems.
Exactly.
So I don't have room for them. But overall, this will be a fun playoffs. If I had to make my picks now, my prediction, I think it's going to be Kansas City and Green Bay. I know each one's a one seed. It's not that exciting. But I think the Chiefs, except for the Bills, nobody's going to touch them. And I think the Packers and the NFC has... They just have the best offense. I don't know who can keep up with them scoring-wise.
You know, as you were saying, who you thought were going to be playing in the Super Bowl, I thought Kansas City and Green Bay also.
I think
they have the best teams in the NFL right now.
It'll be the highest-rated Super Bowl with Rodgers, Mahomes. It's still in the pandemic. People will be trapped at home still. It's going to be the highest. If that's what it is, it'll be the highest-rated Super Bowl in NFL history. America will be captivated by it because once it's the Packers and you get Rodgers in there, Pat Mahomes is like the next star, obviously.
Yeah,
it'll be a huge rating. Now, if the Bills ever got there, because I think the Bills have a legitimate chance to get there. They are that good. That would also draw a huge rating as well, because many fans of a certain age, like you, like me, we remember the four losses in a row.
Yep.
And it's kind of like the Cubbies, sort of like the Browns. They're not too far from the Browns. Will they ever get one? So there's that storyline. If the Bills ever got there, I think America would be captivated by that as well, just because Buffalo's such a sad sack city. Give them one type of... I'm not rooting for them to get one, but I think a lot of folks would emotionally be tied into that.
You know, I agree. And I think they have some real diehard fans that have been there since the 90s, just like the Dolphins. You know, one of my coworkers who works a couple floors above me, he's a huge Bills fan. And he came down, you know, a week or two before the final game of the season. He's like, listen, the Dolphins are doing great. You know, it's nice to get this rivalry back up. Yeah, really nice. Really, and I'll tell you, the majority of Bills fans that I've met have been extremely, extremely nice. But again, it's a rivalry. I still want my team to win, and I still want your team to lose. It doesn't mean I don't like you less, but it just means I support my team. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, I'm a fan of the Yankees. Red Sox fans are fine. I say rooting for your team, just like you're not rooting for my team.
Exactly.
That's how it works. You're fine people. And the
hey,
Bills
man,
fans.
And I hope... Whoever makes it to the Super Bowl, I hope that I'm actually going to be there to see it happen. And I'm waiting to hear back from the fan of the year, man. Yeah, so I'll definitely keep you posted on how that goes.
Yeah, so it should be fun. It's been fun each week with these shows. Like I said, we're not going away. We're just not going to do them every Thursday. We're going to pop in once there's something to talk about. Maybe when they sign offensive coordinator and we get some playoff games under our belt, we'll pop on and do a show, talk about where we are in the playoffs and maybe the new Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator. And there's going to be so much news coming out of guys that are pretty much, you know, leaks. There's going to be so many leaks and rumors about who's not going to be back, who's not going to be re-signed, who they're interested in possibly signing, because the offseason goes just as fast as the regular season. It'll be February before you know it. And come February, you're a month away from free agency and there's rumors galore. And we're going to be here every step of the way on the podcast, whether it's Tom, Josh and Aaron, Stephen Masso, Ian and myself. We're going to have shows all the way. And thank you guys for listening to us this season and for continuing to listen to us here as we head into the off season. So, plugs. Be sure to follow Ian Berger on Twitter at Ian693 and also his YouTube page, Big E, Miami Dolphins. You got to type the Miami Dolphins or else you'll get a intercontinental champion from the World Wrestling Entertainment. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, which I still think is hilarious. Also, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and be sure to check out our YouTube page as well. We're putting new content up there. So go to YouTube and just search Dolphins Talk. Everyone, have a great Thursday and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Fins up, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.